Will you stand with me? Let's read the word of the Lord. We're hanging out in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Today we're going to read verses 16 through verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I need everybody to read it, so get ready. You're going to read as one body of believers today. So here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 16. I'll try not to stop along the path. Here we go. Let's read together. Therefore, from even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Next verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. All these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry. Stop right there. I want you to notice these two words. He did what? Reconciled us. And now he's giving us the same thing he did for us. He wants us now to have the ministry of? You got it. So he did something for us that he now wants us to do for somebody else. He did something for us, so now he wants us to do exactly what he did for us with somebody else. You ready? Now, what does this look like? That's the question. What does the ministry of reconciliation look like? How do you define that? How do you frame it up? You ready? You're going to wish you didn't come to church today. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Namely, that God
was in Christ, reconciling the world to
himself. Stop right there. Oh, that's good. The next phrase is where your answer is. Not counting their trespasses against. There it is. Here's what he says to you. I want you to do for your spouse what I've done for you. I want you to do for your employees what I've done for you. I want you to do for your kids what I've done for you. I want you to do for your neighbors what I've done for you. In other words, when they get on your last nerve, tick you off, show their worst side, I want you not to hold it against them. That's what God did for you. He knows your funk. And he still stepped into your funk. And it was funky too. Actually, it's still funky. You don't like that word, huh? He stepped into your cesspool. And he says, just because he allows you to see somebody else's cesspool, don't mean you get to turn and walk away. I told you you should have stayed home. He says, when it stinks, I want you to boldly buck up and say, since God did it for me, I can do it for you. Which means on their worst day, because on your worst day, he came after you. No. So that means don't fog it up. I got in trouble last week, by the way, when I said fog. Somebody thought I was saying something else. So when I said it quickly, fog it up, fog it up, fog it up, fog it up. They'd be like, hold on, Pastor, what you saying? What you saying? What you saying? I'd be like, where y'all mind at? What y'all doing? Come on. F-O-G, fog. Anyways, but when you fog up the issue and come up with your reasons why, this is the exception and this is the stink you don't have to walk into, just remember God could have come up with an excuse too. But he did. Therefore, you have no room to come up with one. Don't fog it up. It's pretty clear. And when there's clarity, then there must be, if you were here last week, urgency. When there is, then there must be. When there is no clarity because you fogged it up, no wonder you give yourself a reason, irreconcilable differences. I can walk out of here. Y'all all right? Mm-hmm. Stay home sometimes. Here we go. And the reason why I make you stand, because when you sit down, you get too comfortable, so you're not going to hear this. So I need you to hear a major part of the sermon standing. Because now you're perked up. So you can, I'm talking to you. Yes, I'm talking to you. All of y'all. When you see the stink, that's when Jesus is allowed full reign in your life so you can love the unlovable. That's what he's saying. By the way, last thought, then I'm done. I'll let you sit in a minute. We shouldn't act like the rest of the world does. Hold on. So when God lets you see the heart of man and woman, like we're seeing in our culture today, you're seeing the heart of, you see. If we were to dig up your foolishness and to blow it up, by the way, I'm not minimizing anything. I'm just trying to show you how the church should respond. When you get to see the wickedness of man, you should say, that's why we all need Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. Don't be surprised like the rest of them. It's always been there. The foolishness. And you condemn your own foolishness. It's always been there. It's always been there. And by the way, some of you still there. Mm-hmm. Let me blow yours up on the big screen too. Mm-hmm. Let me call your name. Let me just call a name. You want me to blow up yours there? You want me to blow? No, I know you don't. Let me call another. You want me? You ready to blow up yours, Doc? You ready to blow up yours? Everybody. No, not yet. No. All right. But here's the good news. Even if we blew it up, that's why Jesus died. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the good news. No, don't get me wrong. Jada's going to deal with hers on Wednesday, and I'm going to deal with the guys on next one. Because the church has to respond to this too. We do. And let me stop. Y'all need to sit down. One more verse, then I'm done. One more verse. Next verse. Therefore, in light of that, therefore we are.
Ambassador.
One more time. Therefore we are.
Ambassador.
We don't speak for ourselves anymore. We speak for God. You all are press secretaries. Let's talk about that for a moment. Stay standing. Aren't you glad you don't have Sarah? It don't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. Aren't you glad you don't have Sarah's job? Because Lord knows, I know. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I know Sarah sometimes be like, really, dude? What must I say about that, dude? Come on, man. Come on, bro. You got to help a sister out, man. What must I say about this one? And then Sarah with a straight face polishes it all off. And he'd be like, girl, you did that. I don't know how you did, but you did that. The text says, we are ambassadors of Jesus. That's what we're representing him now. Let's continue. As though do you see what he's saying, y'all? I know you're standing and it's hurting a little bit. It's good for your core. My wife is looking like, really? First of all, you don't do no core exercise. She's saying to me, I'm the one in the house that do the core exercise, okay? All right. Hey, sit down. We're done. Sit down. It's going downhill real quick. Sit down. Thank you for loving me in spite of my foolishness and my ADD-ness. Y'all got it too. Don't take no medication though. All right. What I want to talk about today is I want to remind you of what your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, I want you to remind you of how they think. God's called us to be ministers of reconciliation, but we got to be wise when we're ministers of reconciliation. Listen, 10-mile radius of this campus, 10 miles. You have 1 million people, 200,000 of which are at some level churched. Here's what that means. 800,000 don't go to nobody's church, don't have a relationship with God. That's our mission field. 800,000 don't have one. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to help you understand how that 800,000 think. Because I think we have lost the fact that we're in a little bubble and we don't realize how they think. And I think, and this is the more disappointing part, that we think just like them in many instances. So what I want, before I tell you that you're ministers of reconciliation, I want to remind you of who we're talking to when we go to work. Because if we don't know who we're talking to, we're going to use the same cliches that our mama and grandmama used, and you're going to have shocking results. So let's take a look at it. Understanding culture, the men of Issachar, Chronicles suggest, understood their times and knew what to do. The men and women of one, we ought to understand our times and know how to speak into a scenario. I'm going to show you why you need to be careful what you're putting on your social media. I'm going to show you why sometimes just because you have an answer don't mean you need to give it. Let's look at the culture. Let's dissect our culture a little bit and show you how they're thinking. Number one, in the boxes you have in your notes, I want you to put pluralism or pluralistic. Second, the middle one, I want you to put postmodern. And the last one, I want you to put post-Christian. If you don't have a handout, just raise your hand. Somebody will give you one. If you don't have one, just raise your hand up real high. Somebody will give you one. You need this on today. If you looked at your at the highlights, the first circle to the left, you'll see pluralistic, then the second one is postmodern, and then post-Christian. You have to understand how the current culture thinks, because you and I have been in a bubble and we don't realize. And by the way, if you have teenagers, you need to know how their friends are thinking and perhaps how they're still thinking right now. And this becomes vital if you're going to engage in the culture. You must know how they think, or else you'll take old methods to try to interact with people who have moved on. So here we go. Let me give you a quick one. The first one is the new attitudes in our culture. Everybody say new attitudes. Yes. New attitudes in our culture. Here's the reality of the people you're working with and the people your kids go to school with. Number one, here we go. No moral authority. Okay. Here we go. No moral authority higher than myself. There, you can read it on your notes. There's no moral authority higher than myself. Here's what that means. Don't tell me I have to report to anybody else. Don't tell me I have to listen to anybody else. I determine what's right for me, and I determine what's right and wrong. That's the norm. It's the reason why people getting in trouble. This is the only service this come up in. But it's the reason why no police officer can tell me anything. That's where you get it from. No. You don't get to tell me. I get to do. You. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do my own thing. That spirit comes out of culture where everybody does what's right in their own eyes. I'm not telling you how a Christian thinks. I'm telling you how the rest of the world thinks. The problem is that the Christians sometimes have drunk the Kool-Aid of the rest of the world. But there's no moral authority. Don't tell me what's right. That's why when you say, the Bible says, they say, I don't care what the Bible says. That's for you, our old people. I get to do what I want to do, and I get to do what, listen, here's the argument. I get to do what we as a people have determined is right. There's no moral absolutes anymore. No, get rid of the Bible, and don't bring the Bible up in any discussion, which is why you don't start with the Bible with this generation. You can't start the conversation. That's your mama's generation. That's the Christian generation. But you in this current culture, you can't start with the Bible. It's not where you start. Number two, read it with me. Life is about, and my personal, come on, that's not everybody. Last phrase, personal. There it is. You think you haven't taken this tablet right here? Here it is. Life is about my happiness. Life is about me. That's what you're teaching your kids without even knowing it. The culture have fed to you that your kids need to know it's all about them. Which is why we spend all this money buying everything for them and demanding nothing of them. And then we wonder why they grow up so selfish, because we taught them that. We taught them, it's all about you. Hey, whatever you want. And really what we're doing is working out our own past issues, because we never had nothing. We want them to get everything. And without knowing it, we're making them believe that life is all about them. We've eaten this one. Culture taught it, we swallowed it. Fully, this one. Life's all about me. What, the next one's even worse. Watch it. Next one says, what's good for the individual trumps what is good for the community. Don't ask me to be in a life group for what? This is not about no life. I don't care about life group. I care about me. And by the way, when the life group interfere with me, I need y'all to know I'm leaving. Don't ask me to be accountable to nobody. I don't want to be accountable because I only care about what's good for me. I don't care about y'all. I care about what's good for me. No, the Bible doesn't know of an isolated individual. But yet still, that's what your mama taught you. because she thought it was right. That's what your dad thought because he thought it was right. Don't tell nobody your business. Don't do that. Don't share nothing. You just keep it all to yourself. And yet still God says it is in the sharing that you will be healed. But we've been taught through the years, don't tell nobody. Just keep it under. Keep it. I'm like, no, that's where the healing is. It's to be fully known and yet fully loved. Who gets to experience that? Not the world, because they're afraid of it. We should, but we don't want to pursue it because we've taken the pill that the world has fed us. Next one. What is it? Ooh, this one? Everybody in here drank the Kool-Aid on this one. Here we go. God exists for our if he exists at all. No, ladies and gentlemen, listen. I need you to hear me clearly on this. Churches have taught you this. We really have. Whenever we make everything be about you, hey man, the reason you need to give is because if you give, God's going to give you back, press down, shake together. That makes God some kind of slot machine to give you what you want. It's not who God is. That's why, remember the blind man? Hey, who's sinned that this man's born blind? No, nobody sinned. The only reason he's born blind is for God's glory. Hey, God, why me? Why do I have cancer? The only reason is for God to get glory out of your life. It don't have nothing to do with what you did or didn't do. Occasionally, it has to simply do because God wants to get glory. Because life, you are not the center of life. God is. Get your tail out of the center and get to the periphery. Worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why nobody should have to beg you to come worship. You know why you should come? You should come to worship because you've been all week long, you've been saying no to self and yes to God. No to self and yes to God. So you can't wait to find some other people who have been doing the same thing so we can all glorify God together. But when life has been all about you, no wonder you come in here still on your cell phone talking about, okay, what are we finna do today? Let me see. That's because you haven't been dying to self all week. So this is just another day for you where you get to focus on you because you are the center of your world. And if you're not careful, your kids, because you have bitten the bug, they will not only swallow a bug, they'll swallow 15 of them. And they'll be 10 times worse than you because all of life now will be about them. Well, I don't have this. Why don't give me this? Give me this. Boy, if you say give me one more time. It's the reason why. Said to my son the other day, hey buddy, what do you want to eat? Chipotle, boy, listen. You don't have Chipotle money, boy, listen. You need, do you see what I'm fighting against? I'm fighting against a son that now, he just whatever he can name, that's what he wants. But it's my fault, because I ask him the question. You see what I'm saying? You don't have a say, fool. This is what you're going to eat. Where I come from, let me not go there. Let me leave that alone. You don't want to know where I come from. Because some days you didn't have nothing to eat. So ain't no choice. You go drink some water. And if you have a piece of dry bread, go eat that. Put some sugar on it. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Put a little bit of sugar in it. Sugar and bread. Now, I'm not counting calories. I'm just saying we were hungry. That's what happened when you sedity. You start counting calories. Well, that's too much sugar. You might get diabetes. We just were hungry. Come on. That's not the point of my sermon. Here we go. Let's go. Next one. Last one is, meaning can only be found in this world. No, this one, I'm telling you, be careful, because it's easy for this one to get you. Meaning, the reason, be careful when you want to build bigger, better car, better clothes, better shoes, better everything you want, better. Be careful, because maybe, just maybe, you're thinking that this is as good as it gets. And yet you're forgetting, yearning after things to come. Yearning. Heart, I want you to have affection for seeing Jesus face to face. Don't wait until you're terminally ill to realize that. Realize it now, because it's absolutely the truth. This is not why we're here. Let's move over to the second one. Here are the rules, that's so postmodern now. Here are the rules of social engagement. Here's what it looks like. Socially, this is the new norm. Here we go. Number one, I may not criticize the life choices and behaviors of others. This is so huge, which is why you don't just spout off your opinion on something on the news. Don't do it on social media, because now any friend that you have that's thinking like this have now written you off. So don't just share. It's okay to know the truth and not share it until you have people that are receptive to the truth. It's okay. But this is the norm. Don't criticize anybody. I want to go do A or B. Don't criticize me. Just let me do it. Because this is not the norm. Number two, I may not behave in a way that causes harm to others. This is so huge. It's the reason why churches are going to get in trouble in the future. Because if you preach the word of God, you're going to cause people harm. Here's what they're going to call it: hate speech. Why? Why are they calling it hate speech? Because if you tell somebody that they can't do something, then that's hate speech. It's happening in every single school all over this country. You can't say anything, which is why, just play the movie forward, it's why the church has to lose their tax benefit in the future. Because if you're going to speak the truth from the word of God, you can't, the government's not going, is not going to compensate you to do that. Once it's anti-God, which is where we're going. So you better understand the times you're in. And you better plan financially according to that, by the way. I'm telling you, because just ask Houston, the city of Houston, and the preachers down there who had to give in their sermons because it was harmful to some people. Number three. I may engage in sexual relationships with someone else, anybody else, as long as all parties agree. That's the norm. Amen. As long as everybody agree, you're good. As long as everybody is okay with it, you're good. As long as any beast is okay with it, you're good. Do whatever you want to do. Here's why. Because you're at the center of your world, and you get to do anything you want to do, whenever you want to do it, and with whoever you want to do it. Just make sure everybody says yes. That's the new life. And watch this now. Do not think some of us, some of you, haven't bought this one too. Because you've made... I could go down this path, but I won't. Leave it alone. Next one. Third area, post-Christian. Here's the old attitudes that used... This is so huge. If you don't understand this, you will not understand your culture. If you don't understand your culture, you cannot be a minister of reconciliation. You can't. You will be a bumbling idiot as you call people to figure out if they know Jesus. Let me show you why. This is the old norm. Most people believed in God. Next one. Most people respected the Bible. They don't anymore. Next one. This is when it was Christian. Next one. People believed in heaven. That's what they did. They believed in heaven. What's the next one? People were moral and wanted to be good Christians. Faith, when the Christian faith came, and non-believers wanted to be more like Christ. Let me explain what this means. Back in the day, the culture wanted to go to heaven. The culture wanted to have a relationship with God. So when you went to somebody's house and knocked on the door and said, hey, I have two questions for you. If you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Because there was a leaning into the Christian faith, they would say, oh my gosh, thanks so much for coming. Yes, how do I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? I dare you to do it today. You go to one of them houses today and say, you ain't nothing but a devil, boy. Get out of my house. Here's why. Because now you're part of the problem. Christians are a part of the problem. Why? Because you have a set of beliefs that you live by, somebody else that does not have it, now you believe they're your enemy. And so they believe that we are the problem, which is why you don't just go out there and put on social media everything you want to put on it, because if you do, your friends are writing you off as closed-minded, unintellectual, you don't have a clue, and you're not progressive. And if you're not careful, watch this now. If you're not careful, it will affect your promotion. Just think about it for a while. If you're not careful, if you're not savvy, it'll affect your promotion. This is the world we live in. So you have to now in this culture, engage it. And we're going to talk about how you do it, which is why I'm saying it's time for us to grow up. I'm telling you, your kids will grow up in a world that does not have the same assumptions you have. So that's why you can say, well, the Bible says. Your kids are going to say, you need to come to my school for one day. Not one person in there believe the Bible. What y'all talking about? And then if you try to protect them from it, well, I'm going to send my kid to Preston Wood, and I'm going to send my kid, and nobody's going to, it's just going to be about Jesus. They got social media. They got everything. They can reach. They couldn't reach us unless our parents took us there. Today, they reach everywhere. So you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to wrestle with it. And it's real. And I don't care how much your kids have been in church. When they get out there, they have to defend what they believe. That's why you got to learn how to think so you can teach them how to think. It's huge. You can no longer say, the Bible says what they be like. Nobody cares one rip about that book. Anyways, let's move on. So how do we minister to this group of people who think like this? That's the question on the floor. Let's jump into our text now. Here we go. Let's see if we can get there. Let's jump into the text. Here we go. The text starts out, watch it. He starts with two transitional phrases. Usually one is enough. Therefore, we recognize, that's not what he does though. He says, therefore, from now on. Double transition. Therefore, English teachers, come on. From now on, we recognize. In other words, he's getting ready to say, since you got saved, you're supposed to look, feel, and think radically differently from before. That's his point. You're supposed to look radically different. Therefore, we recognize no one according to the flesh. In other words, if you're still living according to the flesh, if you're still enjoying things that your flesh used to enjoy, there's something wrong with you. So he says, though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way. Say these two words with me. No longer. In other words, you're supposed to think differently. You're supposed to love different things. You're supposed to process everything through the Word of God. It should be radically different. My concern is that you got saved and nothing about you changed. Nothing about you changed, except now you start going to church. Nothing. Next verse. Here we go. Therefore, read it with me, please. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things, stop. The stuff you used to like are gone. The old things, the fact that you used to make yourself the center of your world, gone. The stuff that you need to live, you used to live for this world. You need to live for a cool car, cool rims, cool house, bling, bling. That stuff, gone. It's not what's important anymore. Eternity is. And you know the number one objective standard for whether or not you're living for this world or the world to come? You know what the number one objective standard that you can't lie about? You know what that is? You're giving. I don't need you to say amen because you don't like it. I know you don't, but it's the truth. That's why Jesus talk about money so much, because it is the number one objective standard of whether you're living for today or for tomorrow. And the verdict is most of us live for today. That's why we hate writing a check to give to anybody, not just church, to anybody. You don't want to hear, my wife's going to get mad at me, so let me write it right now. That's why you do it. He says, all things are past. All priorities are past. All stuff past. Then he uses the word behold. Voila! Some brand new has showed up. Next verse. Here we go. Watch the text. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled. What does it mean to reconcile? Let me help you out. What does it mean to reconcile? He says this. He says, to reconcile means you were broken and he is making you whole again. To reconcile means that God the Father wanted the wrath of God to be put on you. And the Father was holding it back, holding back the wrath. The wrath's coming, and he's holding it back. And he said, I need to unleash it. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring my only son, put him on a cross, and what was designed and customized for you is now going to be upon him. And the wrath, all of it, went on his son. And he did that so that you don't have to experience it. And he says, I loved you so much that I held back the wrath long enough so that it could go to my son, so that I could reconcile or come together with you and have a relationship with you, because my full wrath went to him. That's called imputation. Here's the three words for today. Word number one is imputation. Say that with me, please. Here we go. Word number one is, come on, it's a big word, but it ain't that big. Imputation. Word number two is reconciliation. And word number three is representation. This is the whole passage today. Tell me this word again. Word number one is, come on, everybody. That's not everybody. Everybody. Word number two is everybody together. Word number three is, now, if you don't have imputation, you can't have reconciliation. If you don't have reconciliation, you can't have representation. The problem is when people who don't have imputation try to represent them. Now you look like a phony, and people are not representing God anymore. You're representing yourself. The issue becomes, imputation means that God imputed the righteousness of Christ to your account so that you can have a relationship with the Father. I'm going to say that another way. Okay, let me give you an illustration of it. Many of you get in the mail all the time these pre-approved credit card little cards. Hey, you have been pre-approved. In other words, somebody looked into your background, saw that you love credit, and then said, hey, let me jack them up some more and give them some more credit and then charge them 25 to 40% so that we can own them. Here's what God says. God says, I'm not going to charge you nothing. I'm just going to put it all on my son, and I'm going to pre-approve you for heaven based on my son's righteousness, so you can have a relationship with my Father just because you trusted my son. That's what he says. That's imputation. Then he says, after you get imputation, now you're not living for you. You're living for Jesus now. Now you're not living your life. Jesus is living his life through you. Now he says, I want you to participate in the same thing I did for you. It's called reconciliation. What's reconciliation? Here it is. Reconciliation is this. What do I have here? I have distilled white vinegar. Praise the Lord, somebody. Distilled white vinegar. This is a whole bunch of vinegar right here. But that's what we have, distilled white vinegar. And this is what it looks like in many of y'all's marriage, right here. This is what it looks like in many of y'all's marriage, in many of y'all's life group. This is what it looked like too. Now, what do I have here? Virgin olive oil. So now I have some virgin olive oil, vinegar and olive oil. And now what it looks like, you're sleeping in two different beds. You don't like each other. You don't talk to each other. One live downstairs, the other live upstairs. You got a sedity house, but the family and the relationship sucks. And so what you got now is you got the husband here and the wife down here, the relationship with your neighbor here and you down here, and you're not mixing, which means you're not reconciled. You're separated from each other. But now you have a conflict. And so you say, okay, let's chop it up. Let's chop it up. Let's see what's up. Hey, well, no, I think you're wrong. No, I think you're wrong. No, I think, you know what? Your breath stinks. Well, you know what? Yours stinks too. I don't care about you. I told, you know what? You better go upstairs. Actually, you better go find an apartment. You ain't living here no more because I'm done with you. You're supposed to be reconciled. You get into a conflict, both of you go your separate ways. And that's how most people live. That's how Christians who know better live. But that's how you live without the Spirit of the living God inside of you. But Lord help you if you get an egg. And if you get an egg and the egg represents the Holy Ghost and you just drop the Holy Ghost inside of your wicked heart, because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, what's supposed to happen is the Holy Ghost acts as a emulsifier, and his job is to simply take two people that could not get along, get them together, mix them together with the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden, that which was unreconcilable now becomes reconciled because some foreign agent on the outside was dipped into the inside. You better help me preach this. Was dipped into the inside, and that which was separated now comes together. My God. Listen to me now. Listen to me now. And do not fog it up. Because the way you fog it up is when you give, I said F-O-G it up. The way you fog it up. What kind of church is this, man? What kind of church? I'm using regular English words with a little Jamaican accent and you're getting thrown off. Anyways. Do not let yourself come up with a reason why you can't be reconciled. Because that's how you mess it up. That's how you make it unclear. That's how you justify why you don't have to act urgently. The reason you do it is because you come up with an excuse. And every time you come up with one, you ought to remind yourself, I'm so glad Jesus didn't come up with one. Because here's what he did. He took every trespass you did. And he says, in light of your trespasses, I'm going to forgive you, overlook what you did, and I'm still going to pursue you. In light of that, he says, one community church, every marriage, every relationship, every employee-employer relationship, every neighbor that you know, you need to make sure as far as it depends on you, you live at peace with all men. As far as it depends on you, you do not allow your mind to come up with a justifiable reason why you don't reconcile. Don't do it. And I know what you're doing right now. You come up with, Pastor, if you just knew my situation, fog it up. Well, Pastor, if you just knew my situation is unique because it's so different from every other situation in the world, fog it up. That's what you're doing. You're fogging it up. Instead of saying, I still have the responsibility of loving this person, even if I have to create some barrier. That's the exception, because we got to separate. You live somewhere else because you don't know how to not put your hands. Good. You need separation in those. But in every other situation, you need to know. Do not allow yourself to fog it up by having a discussion before you act with urgency. Can I get a witness, somebody? Can I get a witness? That's for somebody today. Don't do it. Deal with it, and deal with it urgently. Don't wait. Well, let me think about it. So fog. Every time you say think fog, think fog, think fog. Yeah. F-O-G. Here we go. Here's what he says. I've reconciled you, so I need you to reconcile with everybody. That's what you are. Ministry of Reconciliation. That's the minister that you are. Everybody, you don't have to go to seminary to do this. Every Christian is a minister of reconciliation. Next verse, let's go. Come on. How's this look? Not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You bring people together through the Holy Ghost. That's your job. You repair stuff that's broken. That's your job. When you see stuff, you're the one that steps into it. I have a girl that used to babysit our kiddos, and she said, hey, Pastor, I know you used to do that, but if you don't mind, can you please allow me to not do this for you anymore? So listen, 20-something, so I can go babysit for a family that's not a Christian, that want to have nothing to do with God, because they'll let me talk to their kids. And if they'll let me babysit their kids, then I can use it as my strategic service to go serve them, get inside the house as a secret agent for Jesus. And I can then take care of their kids and sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, to their kids, so that without them knowing it, I'm preaching the gospel to them and being the light of Jesus to them as well. And by the way, Pastor, when they get a little old, guess what they're letting me do now? I'm taking the kids to church so that the kids are now hearing about Jesus, and they would have never heard from him any other way. Unless a 20-something was so strategic with their goals that they wanted to minister to people who don't know God and want nothing to do with God. Because here's what they found out. The issue is not the money. We live for a bigger issue than that. Of course they're paying her, but she wanted a bigger purpose, because you know she's not going to be a fix to this life. There's a bigger life than this one. And that is what we do in heaven. I wish there were more Christians who thought like that. I really do. There are more Christians who realize my job is to reconcile, not counting their trust, but be a minister of reconciliation. Last verse. Let's go to it real quick. So then he says, here's what you ought to do then. For therefore we are ambassadors. It's our job to represent Christ wherever we go. You know, I don't care what you are. You're an educator, then go be Christ's ambassador as the best educator there is. I don't care what you are. You are Christ's spokesman, spokeswoman. So it's your job to go rep him well. What's my boy's name? A movie. I'm going to date myself a little bit, but it's all right. Y'all will work with me. Charlie's Angels. I like me some Charlie's Angels. I like to watch it. Charlie's Angels. You know what it is, right? Some invisible dude is talking to three ladies through a little bitty speaker. And those ladies take whatever he says and they go in arm's way to go fight all kind of war, put their lives at risk for somebody they ain't never seen. And they say, all he has to do is say the word. And they go into action. Well, if three ladies will do that for little old Charlie, who they ain't never seen, I want to know, do we have any Christians in here that when Jesus whispers his still small voice to you, will you go represent him for the glory of God? Because there are too many of us who hear the voice and go do our own agenda. And not hear the voice and go represent Christ well. So the challenge on the floor today for you is, we have a broken world. Will you represent your God well in the midst of that broken world? Say the three words with me. Imputation leads to, which then demands. Father, it's so easy for us to buy into the culture. It's so easy for us to take what the culture has now determined is normal and then for us to progressively live like it. Will you help us, God, to be aware? Will you open our eyes? Will you help us to discern with wisdom how we live in our lives? If we're going to be counterculture, God, then will you help us to examine our own homes to make sure we're not living like the culture? And then when we do that, will you then help us to be ministers of reconciliation? I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, every last one of us, will you help us to evaluate the friends that you have allowed us to have, the neighbors that you have sovereignly designed for us to live beside? Will you help us to discern that? And then, like our young lady, come up with strategies of how we can simply serve these neighbors. Who's our neighbor? Anybody that has a need in front of us. It's what you defined for us last week. In light of that, help us to be wise and engage your culture in a healthy way. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Everybody said? Come on, give God a round of applause. Come on.